Hello, everybody. How's it going? Labor Day weekend. What? Wonder how many folks we'll have here. Y'all chat, make sure you can hear me. Let me know what you're doing this weekend. If y'all are doing anything fun. And we will get started. Elizabeth has got her hand raised. Carolyn is next. And Melissa's after that. Oh, and then Shannon. Love it. Okay, let's keep it going. Y'all raise your hand and we'll get going. Okay, Elizabeth, you are up first. Hey, how are ya?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, good. I'm first. Yes.
Yes. In and out.
I know, right? Well, it's been a while since we talked, but I love talking to you, Betsy.
Yes, yes. What's going on?
Well, same topic, just a different day. I love talking to you about binging and your thoughts on everything. And I just kind of want to pick your brain. I don't even know if I have a question. Maybe I do. But basically, okay, so I've been in the tribe since March of 18. I've been here a while. I have a lot of data. And I've been noticing, especially since I've been in maintenance, it's been almost a year now since I've been in maintenance, that I have an interesting pattern. About every 4 months, I go on what I consider a mega binge. Mm-hmm. So I have sometimes these are like just a whole day. Sometimes it's several days. Sometimes it's a week or more. But about every 4 months, this happens. And it's been really interesting.
Do you know why?
It's always
like you recognized a pattern, right?
Yeah, I definitely have a pattern. It's always from thoughts. It's always letting my bullshit thoughts go unchecked for too long. I'll notice, especially like I will start, I will stop doing the PNP stuff. It usually stops with, I stop checking into my accountability group. I stop journaling. TDLing is a big one for me. If I stop TDLing every day, then I know something is bound to happen. I stop making a plan. It kind of one thing.
But it's not the act, right? Those are actions, right?
Yes.
You actually not doing things. But what mm-hmm. are the thoughts that lead to those actions? I mean, because it always starts with one day, right? Like you wake up one day and you don't do a plan or you don't check in with your, accountability group. What is it that is going on there?
It's usually the same stuff. It's usually things to do with my son or feeling overwhelmed or things like that. Damn it, Betsy, I didn't mean to cry today.
I didn't mean to. Well, I was going to say, I can't make you cry. But here's the deal. I'm asking you this, but there is no deep, dark thought, right? It's literally probably like, I'm overwhelmed today. I'm just not going to do it today. I'll get back at it tomorrow. It is a totally like, a so-called harmless thought, usually.
Yeah.
And that is all it takes. And this is for everybody. I want y'all to quit going into this. Why just quit asking yourself why, because it's probably mm-hmm. just like one day you just said, you know what? I'm just going to take a break. And then next thing you know, it's just, it's a binge or something because it's, well, now it's hard to get back on. Right. Mm-hmm. And when it's literally just your next best choice. So that's the key is just to, and that will help you not beat yourself up because it's just, there's no deep, dark thing. It's just, you just made a choice. And mm-hmm. then it's this behavior chain analysis we talk about with binges where it's like, it's these chains that go together. And the first chain was you didn't check in with your group one day. The next chain was you didn't do your plan or, you didn't follow it or whatever. And then you didn't do a recovery worksheet or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then, it's just that simple. So it's just, okay, it's very simple. It's not, doesn't mean anything horrible about me. I mean, I literally had a thought the other day, gosh, I haven't binged in a while. That'd be fun. I mean, what the heck, right? Like, I mean, it's just can be like that. It's just not, you know, we are broken and we have to be, you know, it's just, yeah, like, gosh, you know, we hadn't done that in a while. Why haven't we done that in a while? Maybe we could do that. That might, you know, that might be fun.
Yeah, I have those thoughts too. And my brain's been going to, well, you know, maybe I should schedule overeat. Like, it's almost here's what my brain is, and this is probably bullshit, but I'm starting to think, well, okay, if I have this massive binge, as I'm calling it, I need to stop calling it that, but
that makes it real dramatic, right?
Very dramatic. Yeah. But I'm thinking in my head, if I have this mega binge every 4 months, maybe I should be scheduling overeats so as not to have this big buildup. but I know that sounds so stupid.
Your brain is desperate to like go back to what it was doing, right? It just wants to just kind of be okay and not, you know, you not doing all this work on it. And so it's so creative and so sneaky about how to just go back to doing what we used to be doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it threw out that thought with me, like, we hadn't binged in, I mean, you know, it throws the kitchen sink at you, right? Just let's try this and that and this just to see if there's anything that will make her just go back to doing what she was doing.
Lately, the last one I had, mine, like when I got back on plan the next day, I was like, all right, I'm rocking this. This is good. My brain instantly went to, oh crap, I didn't eat that while I was on my binge. Oh, wait for the next one to show up. So I'll put that on the binge plan. It's like, what the hell? I guess a related question, like I'm getting so much better at not beating myself up for all of this behavior. I recognize that binging is just a circumstance. Right. It happened. Right. I will never be without binges. I just want to let everyone know listening to this, you can lose all your weight. You can maintain your weight. You can rock maintenance and still have overeats and still binge. This is possible with the thought work. So I have gotten to the point where it's becoming more and more of a neutral event. Mm-hmm. I still have the length of time sometimes bothers me, not the actual behavior, but how long sometimes it takes me to pull myself out of what I call my depressive funks. So,
well, maybe you should call it something different for starters.
I need new names. but how do you, I guess my question for you would be, how do you make yourself do the things you know you need to do when all you want to do is say fuck it to everything? How do you check in? How do you write a plan? You know, I've been discussing this with my accountability group, and they advised me to make a depression protocol. Mm-hmm. Literally the only thing I have on my depression protocol is make a 24-hour plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, that's my minimum baseline. I can do that. Even if I don't want to look at my thoughts or talk to anybody about it, I can at least write down all the shit I'm eating.
Right. So, and that's the answer, is really that you do stuff that is totally doable, right? You don't have some 14 step, you know, plan in your depression protocol. You have it totally doable and you just do it. You just have to like when everything in the world is telling you it's not enough, you know, we don't want to do this, we would just much rather do this other thing instead. When you override your brain just in that moment and just put pen to paper and make that plan, something in your brain kind of clicks and says, well, okay, she didn't listen to us that time. So maybe she's wanting to do something different this time, and we'll get on board with that, you know, eventually, right? I mean, it's a process, but it's just that, I mean, these days, like, I mean, I, even this morning, so my husband and I went to Waffle House. Don't judge. Nobody judge. I love Waffle House. And I mean, I went in there and smelled the waffles, not pancakes, waffles. And I, you know, smelled them and I was like, oh my gosh, I would love just one bite of waffle. You know, I don't want a whole one or whatever. And then I just said, well, of course I have this urge for a waffle. I'm literally like this far away from the waffle machine. I'm just having an urge, right? And it's just this language, like, of course you're not going to want to, of course you're going to want a waffle. You're smelling it. You know, it's like up your nose. And it's just that kind of language that, that you tell yourself and that, you know, that you talk to yourself in. It's that kind of tone of voice, that real compassionate voice where it's just, you know, of course you're not going to want to, of course you're not going to want to do this in the moment, but we have learned over time that that is the moment that will, you know, that will make or break us in terms of when you really don't want to do something, ding, 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 there's your sign that it's absolutely the thing that you should do. It's just like, you know, do the opposite, right? And so, yeah, it's just doing it and prove, you know, doing it when you don't want to over and over and over again and proving to your brain, proving to yourself that you can absolutely do things when, you know, you don't have to want to do things to do them.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Corinne's podcast or something on that the other day. It's just, you know, if we can just override our brain and do things when, you know, our brain is screaming at us to not do it. Oh my gosh, the power that, you know, that we're able to take back.
No, I really like that. I'm really good at doing things when I don't want to in other areas of my life. Like take running, for example. You know, it's funny that you said what you said, because I use that same mantra. Like when I'm doing uphill work,
right,
I'll tell myself, of course this hurts right now. You know, of course this is hard. Of course you're going slower than you normally run. This is just part of this journey right now. Of course you are. You're going uphill. I do that. I also use your technique with the urges, kind of, you know, jokingly talk to myself and say, of course you're going to want that right now. That's just a thought, silly little thought, you know, silly little urge.
And that's what I was doing with the waffles this morning. It was like, of course, once I kind of got out of my drama, like, well, you know, I can't have a waffle. I didn't plan a waffle. Then I was like, of course, this is my opportunity. Like, this is it. This is the work. This is it. Mm-hmm. You know, once I'm able to kind of, you know, just separate just a little bit, I was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to learn from this. I mean, if you just, you know, said to yourself, oh yeah, this is where I'm supposed to learn. And, yeah. And then just move on. But absolutely, it's key that you recognize, like, I mean, we all get up out of bed every day, most days, when we don't want to, right? There's all kinds of examples we can come up with of when we do things we don't want to do. And I tell y'all what, I will be perfectly honest here. A nap will be in my future this afternoon. And my husband is in the other room napping right now, though, because he was up late with his fantasy football group, but I didn't do that, but I just didn't get some great sleep last night. So it's like, okay, you know, I mean, I love being here with y'all, but might rather be in there, you know, taking a nap, but it's just like, but I'm here, I have a job to do. It's, and I love it when you can think about, other examples. And I mean, another thought that works really well for me is that, you know, this is temporary. Like when you're going up a hill, right? This is temporary. It's, you know, I'll be able to go, you know, I'll be going down the hill here pretty soon. And so I can absolutely do, I talk about Fly Lady. Did you ever know about Fly Lady? She was like, she was into cleaning. She's online, but she said, she always said you can do anything for 15 minutes. Cause she would say like, set your timer for 15 minutes and go clean something and then stop and you get to do whatever you want to do. And I always think about that. Like when I'm running or doing something else, like I can do anything for 15 minutes and then you know, I get to stop and take a break or whatever. So it's just all these little thoughts that work for you in other areas of your life that you can apply to an urge that really we know from science only lasts a couple of minutes and then you can move on. So it's just a matter of practicing and seeing what thoughts work for you.
Yeah, no, I really like that. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of one of those depression weeks, it just feels like it's my new normal. You know, like I've worked so hard to change all my behavior and all my thoughts, and it's like this is just my new normal now. You know, that's the new thought I have. So, just recognizing that, being aware of that, and trying to change it to, this is temporary.
Yeah.
This will go away. Anytime I want it to go away, I just have to change what I'm doing and what I'm thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, like, this is temporary. This is, you know, this will be here as long as I, you know, I choose for it to be here. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Yeah.
I like that. Thank you. I love talking to you.
I know. I do love talking to you too. All right. Well, come back again soon.
I will.
Okay. Take care. Betsy. All right. Bye. All right. We got a good little line here. We got Carolyn, Melissa, Shannon, Dee, and Darcy. Okay. Thank you. Got another Waffle House fan in the building here. Love those hash browns. Extra crispy. It's my jam. All right. Hi.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
I would like to coach on the fact that I've been white knuckling for 3 days.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound fun. That sounds tiring.
Yes, not sleeping.
Okay. What's going on?
Sorry, it's been a little bit of a rough week.
Okay.
Sorry, give me 1 second.
Just breathe.
So, last week, we had a really bad rainstorm here in Michigan, and water started pouring in through my walls in my basement. So I started calling in companies to have everybody look at it, and I'm getting two different mixed signals on it. Like, some people go, oh, this is super easy to fix. Other people go, oh no, this is like $20,000, $40,000 worth of work. Mm-hmm. So I talked to my dad about it, and he's like, well, do it the easy way and then go and sell the house. And I'm like, that feels dishonest though.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, when you disclose it, you actually fixed it. It's just not the true fix. So okay. It feels icky.
Okay.
I know he's trying to make sure that I end up on my feet when I go and buy a new house, but even going to buy a new house brings up so many emotions for me.
Because
it's like picking, do I move closer to work? Because I'm about 45 minutes from work right now. Do I stay local and stay near my parents?
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
You got some decisions to make, right? You got some decisions to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've been TDLing and modeling, and all the models, like the intentional models, just don't, I know they're not supposed to feel good right off the bat, but I haven't figured out how to make them feel better.
Okay, let's do a model here since I got my board. But I want to do the unintentional first, right? Okay. I want to do the one where you are right now and start there. Have you done those?
I have. I have about three of them.
Okay, which one, just pick one. Which one do you want to do?
So that I have, the rod holes in my basement are damaged and water comes in when it rains really hard. And that there is one crack in my basement that's a hairline crack.
Okay, so let's say that's a good circumstance, right?
Yep.
Basement.
Damage.
We'll say damage. But, you know, you had a lot of good facts in there, totally neutral facts. Okay, so what's your thought?
So my thought goes in like, I have three different thoughts, which I know isn't how this works.
Let's just do that and then we'll figure it out.
So I have thoughts of, I can do the small fix, but then I feel dishonest to the next person buying my house. The next thought was, if I do the large fix, I'm screwing myself because I won't recoup that money. The next thought is, I don't want to move away from my family. And it's just... like all of the other just thoughts around it are.
Okay, let's start down here at the bottom. What result do you want from what has happened?
So I want to find a way to accept that I have the damage, that I will eventually fix it, whether it be the big or the small fix. And that I want to try and find a sense of calm because my brain's just been spinning for days.
Okay, so let's put acceptance and calm here. So we're gonna do the intentional for now. Okay, so, and then the result, let's see. You got some decisions to make, right? So eventually, at some point. And then... But let's focus on the thought here. What thoughts will bring you acceptance of what has happened, a feeling of calm?
So that's where I'm really struggling, because even the company that said it's going to cost $20,000 to $40,000 to fix, say it's not that bad yet. But if you let it go another winter, you could potentially make it worse, and it costs $40,000 instead of $20,000. So I'm like, okay. I thought to myself, okay, I have time before the winter to figure it out. But then I was thinking, well, I can't come up with $20,000 before the winter if I want to do it the right way. And if I do it the small way, it could end up being the $40,000.
So what do you want to do? Have you made a decision about what you're going to do?
I have not made a decision. We're still talking about it. It just feels like a lose-lose either way. Because if I fix it the right way, like my gut says to do it because I don't want to screw the next person, I'm ultimately screwing myself.
How could you think about this where you didn't screw yourself or anybody else?
So my dad tried to help me through my thought work, actually. Mm-hmm. I showed him my TDL, and he's like, well, every time somebody buys a home, it's buyer beware. And that's what he said. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. he goes, well, if you do the small fix, you fix it, and then you don't have to disclose it because you do have a fix in place. There is no more water in your basement.
So is that what you want to do?
I don't, like, part of me does, just because then I'll have enough money to do another down payment somewhere else. But it feels dishonest. So I'm a very black and white person. It's a struggle of mine that it feels immoral to me to do that and screw the next person.
Okay. So you're going to do the, you're going to choose the other thing then.
That's what I'm leaning towards, but everybody says it's a bad idea, including my husband. He goes, we're ultimately not going to have enough for a down payment on the next house we buy if we do it that way.
Okay, let's get off just the decision making then. No matter what decision you make, how do you want to be thinking about this? Because it doesn't sound like you're quite ready to make a decision yet. So how do you want to think about it? I mean, you know, you talked about honesty, right? You talked about you got this circumstance. So how do you want to show up now with this circumstance that you have?
And that's where I'm really struggling, because I feel like on some level my dad is right. Buyer beware, because I've found hidden things in my house that my people who I bought from obviously hid from me and my inspector. And I don't know. I don't know if I want to stoop to their level or if that's just the buyer beware. I don't know if it's a normal thought. So this was my first house, my first time buying a house. And I guess I have a little bit of negative talk thinking, oh, you should have seen that. You should have known better.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't have, but it's just, the brain's been spinning. So
yeah. So and you're beating yourself up big time, right? I mean, you're thinking I should have seen this. I should have done something different. What if, you know, you just did the best you could, right? With the information that you had.
And I did that.
Yeah.
I think I did that. But again, when I start moving forward, looking towards the decision of what to do is when my thoughts get cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, it's almost like a conflict. Like I want to do the best thing for my family. And at the same time, I feel guilty hurting somebody who buys my house and they have a problem in 5-10 years after that.
Okay. Let's start with, I want to do the best thing for my family. When we're, you know, we're not quite sure what that is yet, but how does that feel when you think, I want to do the best thing for my family?
It feels like a good thought. I like it.
Does it feel accepting of what's happened? Is it calming?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that may just be where you need to start right now, because I mean, you don't have to make a decision, you know, right this moment, but it's just, you may just kind of need to live in this model for a minute where it's just, okay, I'm going to, you know, and another thought is I'm going to figure this out.
That's actually what I have in my paper in front of me.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts, any other intentional thoughts you've kind of tried on?
That I have 4 months before winter comes to figure it out. Cause
okay.
We're cold until January.
Okay. So you've got a little bit of time, right?
Yeah.
And I almost think you've been white knuckling the last few nights because you think you need to make a decision like now.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm feeling.
And it's almost, you know, it might almost be better for you to just say, okay, I'm not going to make a decision for, you know, and give yourself a deadline, like give yourself a few days or a week or whatever and say, okay, no decision until then. Right now, I'm just going to live in this model of, I just want to do the best for my family. And I'm going to get my brain to work on what that means to me.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Because you don't want to make a decision in the state of mind that you're in right now, right? That's not
I agree. I just don't see a way to clear my current state of mind. Like not clear, but accept it and work around it.
Well, and that's why it's like, okay, I'm going to work on that, right? I'm going to work on clearing it. And every time every time my brain comes into those unintentional thoughts of this shouldn't have happened. I mean, basically you're fighting with reality, right? You're fighting with what has happened. Yes. And what if this could be, you know, what if this happened for you for some reason?
Maybe.
I mean, it's just opening your mind because, I mean, it has happened, right? It is your reality now. It is your circumstance. So you might as well kind of take some time to get used to, okay, I'm going to quit fighting this. I'm going to quit fighting with reality and wanting it to be different and wanting it to have not happened. And then I'm going to open my mind up to, okay, this is the reality now. How do I want to think about it? How do I want to show up? What does it mean to do the best thing for my family? What does it mean to, to follow my, you know, my values and my morals or whatever it is, right? I mean, just kind of let that sink in for a little while. And without needing to make a decision right away. Because, I mean, you're fighting against these intentional thoughts, right? You're thinking that there's no way that, you know, that those thoughts can kind of sink in. But you got to just kind of give it some time, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me finish out this model real quick. So your result is we make a decision, right, with your husband. That's best for our family, right? Because that's ultimately what you want, right?
Yes.
And so just with this in mind, just kind of work on living in this model right now where a decision isn't, you know, make decisions, like I said, eventually, right? But not in the state of mind that you are in now. And just really get your mind to work on, okay, what's best for our family now in this new reality with this circumstance that we have.
So that's what I've been trying to model with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thought that keeps flying in that, mm-hmm. for me, what's best for my family is to do the small fix.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, do it that way.
Why is it best for your family?
So that I can have a down payment for the next house.
Okay, so that is what's important to you, right? That is your priority.
Yes.
So it's just recognizing that you are setting, you know, priorities in your life, right? Yeah. And so you want to decide what your priorities are, and then that will help you make your decision. And, you know, no one can tell you what your priorities are, or no one tells you what, you know, your priorities should be. It's up to you. And those are based on, you know, your values, your what's important to you. And so, you know, it may be a good exercise for you to just write down, okay, what's important to me? What are the priorities in, you know, what is best for our family? What are the priorities in our family right now? And just to help you kind of make that decision.
Yeah, but that's also the problem I'm having. The morals then come in and go, well, you're ultimately screwing the next person who buys your house in 5 to 10 years.
And so, yeah, so it's like,
it feels icky. It feels icky to me.
Like, you've got two kind of competing priorities, right?
Yes.
And you've got to decide which one is a higher priority to you right now.
It just feels selfish, if that makes any sense.
I mean, you know, I can't tell you which decision to make, right? But you know, right? You know, deep down, you know what decision feels best for you and your family. But that's only a decision that you can make. And it's, again, based on your family's priorities and values and all of that. So it's up to you.
I understand. That's why I've been telling myself the food won't fix this.
Right, right. Definitely don't want, overeat in the A-line, right?
Yeah, because I haven't given in to the thoughts.
Yes. But yes.
I need to accept the thoughts and not try to shove them off.
Right, and you don't want to white knuckle through anything. I mean, you just want to, when you feel that resistance, that's your sign that you need to, you need to examine something, right? What resistance is coming up for you? And, but I think the key for you is to recognize that there are no right or wrong decisions. There aren't any good or bad decisions. There are just decisions that you make, and they are totally neutral. And so it's just, you get to make a decision and you just own it and move forward, whatever the consequences may be. But you just want to own that decision and know that you made it from a place of, calm acceptance of what's happened, and you made it from a place of knowing what's best for your family.
Okay. Thank you, Betsy.
All right. Take care. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Melissa, Shannon, and Darcy. Hello. Let me unmute you. Oh, there we go. All right.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, you're on.
Okay, perfect. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Oh, you have to bear with me because I'm actually not even really sure what my question is. But
all right, we'll just start talking. We'll figure it out.
I'm having trouble with this whole, I joined in January, and twice I have, in January, I did really good for about 6 weeks, lost 6 to 7 pounds, and then fell off, but I stayed in. Mm-hmm. I just didn't pay attention, didn't write any plans. Then I did the same thing, jumped back in the end of June, went through all of July and the first couple of weeks in August, did the same thing, was successful with some weight loss, mm-hmm. and now I'm just floundering again.
Okay.
And I've joined several accountability groups. I don't feel like I fit into any of the ones that I have joined. And I think my biggest problem is that I have a lot of trouble with the thought work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it has to do with my background and my growing up and things I never addressed. And so I sit down and I'm like, I'm just going to write something down, and I'll be in the shower, or if I go for a walk, I'll have all these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come and my mind is just, it's blank.
Mm-hmm.
So the last week has just been off the rails eating. I'll be honest, and I can hear Corinne in my mind saying there's no action in overwhelm, mm-hmm. but I'm very overwhelmed with life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, my husband and I, we've got a daughter that just went to college. So the last few years, we've accumulated a good bit of debt. So we've sat down and we've really kind of, my mom's a financial planner, thank goodness. So she's helping us. But then there's a part of my brain that's like, you know what, Melissa, this is $50 a month. And you're not using it the way that you should. So maybe you should just stop and learn to be okay with the way you are. But I know I don't want that.
Okay. Yeah. I can tell you don't want that, right? I mean, because it brought up emotion for you. You right. want to start doing what you know you need to do.
Well, and I want to feel better. I don't feel good yeah. in this body. I'm 15 pounds overweight, which I know is not a lot to a lot of people, but my clothes don't fit and I don't feel good.
So here's the deal. When a lot of people say overwhelmed, sometimes I want to reach through this screen and just not shake you too hard, but just kind of hug you and then, you know, just take you by the shoulders and just say, oh my gosh, the four basics can reduce your overwhelm, right? When you have a plan in place every day, when that is all decided every day, then you have time to focus on all this other stuff, right? When you have, I mean, you, and you know it works because you've done it a couple times, you know, consistently for a little while.
Right.
And probably, you know, you probably were able to focus on some other things that you needed to address during that time, right? It's right. like the plan, especially, it's just the plan brings me so much peace because it's just like, okay, that's one part of my life that is just decided. And now it's time to focus on other areas that, you know, that I need to work on. And so thinking of it that way, I think can kind of turn things around where it's like, this plan is a gift to me. This plan will help me in so many different ways, but if nothing else, it will allow me to just focus on this other stuff. And it will just bring me, through my thoughts, it will bring me some peace because I just have committed to something and it's decided and it's done. So that's one thing. But I also know that when you start to, you know, work on all this thought work and stuff, you know, all this stuff comes up, right? And all these feelings come up, and that leads us to have urges to eat. But again, when we have these plans in place, we can practice allowing those urges instead of responding to them, instead of giving them in. But if we don't have any structure in place at all, of course, we're going to just, you know, eat whatever. And so it gives us the structure to our lives that can really kind of bleed over into other parts of our lives. You talked about your financial life. You talked about, you know, your family life and things that happened in your past and all that kind of stuff. The plan is just the first step to give you some structure in moving forward with other areas. So I'm just, you know, the simple answer is you just get back at it, right? You just, you know, Corinne says, you know, push play on a video and, you know, and get out a piece of paper and write your plan down. Right. And that's the answer, you know, that's the answer. But, and we can talk more about, you know, about other areas too, but again, you have the benefit of knowing that this works for you when you do it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I think that the four basics worked for me for those 6 weeks. And then when I realized I needed to be doing other stuff to make this program actually work, because I mean, MJ Shreffy is one of my really good friends and I feel like to where I don't even want to communicate with her a lot about it anymore. Cause I feel like it's beating a dead horse because she keeps telling me all the things I know that I need to do, but I can't, like, I don't remember a lot of my growing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my past, and it's been real, and I think it's weird, like my mom will ask me something like, do you remember going to get your prom dress? And I don't. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some sort of deep fear that some stuff's going to come up, but I just don't. I mean, I've had a lot of loss, mm-hmm. and that but, kind of thing, but
go ahead.
Well, too, and I feel like too that like I'm not so, I know there's people that with work and responsibilities and then, you know, my kiddos and my husband, like I've never been a good meal planner or meal prepper. In fact, my husband, usually most days I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. Most days my husband's like, you know, I'll grab dinner or whatever. So I feel too, like I'm sort of not utilizing the plans effectively because a lot of days I don't even know what we're going to eat. So like, I'll say,
excuse, right?
On my plan, home 2 to 2.
Great.
And then I feel like that's, but I feel like that's giving me too much freedom.
And you feel like that's not enough, but that is where you are right now. You've got to start realistically, right?
Yeah.
Start where you are. And so when you have any thoughts like this isn't enough, this isn't, you know, this isn't setting me up. It's something. It's more than you were doing before, right?
Right.
I know you've got to reload.
I'm moving. I'm relocating for a second. All of a sudden, everybody joined me. sorry about that. There were all of a sudden two kiddos and a dog out of nowhere.
Okay.
But, yeah, but I just feel like that's given me, like, just a broad, too broad.
Well, it's still not as broad as when you had no plan, right?
Right.
I mean, you're doing this all or nothing, black and white kind of thinking.
That's how I've, and MJ and I have had that conversation. I either try to go all the way in the deep end.
Right.
And then almost try to drown. Yeah. And then, or I just do nothing.
Right.
And I still am having trouble finding.
You've got to, okay. I mean, again, this was my thought when I lost my weight. I got to do something different this time. Because what I've been doing is not working. Trying to be perfect at it or just quit. I mean, I was the same way. That was not working for me, and it's not working for you. So it's time right. to do something different. Hear your brain say, wait a minute. You know, hear your brain freak out and say, wait a minute. What are we doing here? Oh, my God, this is so confusing. This isn't enough. This is giving me too much leeway or whatever it is. You got to hear your brain say that and say, nope. I'm doing something different this time because I want this to work and I want this to, I've got to meet myself where I am. And for you, it is 30 days at least of a 24-hour plan that just says 2 to 2. That's it. Nothing more specific than that, maybe. Or, you know, or maybe you can plan breakfast, but the other two meals, 2 to 2. I mean, I work with a lot of private clients that, I mean, and I see their plans every day. And they do, that's what they do. And they're losing weight. I mean, it's, you don't have to be any more specific than that. You aren't breaking the rules. If, there's a car out there, the alarm going off. You're not breaking the rules if you just start there. But you've just got to not attach to what your brain is saying about, oh, that's not enough, or oh, that's cheating, or oh, that's not doing the program right or something like that. Right? I mean, I bet MJ has done a few of those days, maybe, you know, just starting out, or maybe when she goes somewhere and she doesn't know what she's going to do. It's like, okay, 2 to 2. That's what I know I can do always, no matter what.
And right. And I do feel like that I'm not doing enough. I'm not exercising. I'm not doing the thought work.
Thought work is not one of the four basics, right?
Right.
Four basics. Start with those and get really good at those. Because all this other stuff is bonus extra. Why are you laughing?
Because I said again.
Again.
I've done 2 rounds of doing the four basics. Yeah. And then
Third time's the charm for Melissa. Like, you were absolutely supposed to do it, and then not do it for a while, and then do it again, and not do it for a while, to learn that, okay, maybe this four basics thing is, maybe they're onto something here, and I need to just start, you know, focus on this for a while, and, you know, when thoughts come up, yeah, I'll write them down, but that's it for now. You know, I don't need to get in deep. I got to nail in these four basics so that when I do start working on this thought work, I'll have those things down, you know, those are non-negotiable. And then when I really start getting into this thought work stuff, then, you know, I'll be able to feel my feelings and won't be eating over them and all this kind of stuff. But that's why we have you all start with the four basics. That is enough. This is for everybody. That's what it takes to lose weight. The thought work, the exercise is all bonus. And you get to that when you're ready. And that, and I can't tell you when that's going to be. And that's different for everyone. And so that's why we don't have y'all comparing your journey, you know, your journey to MJ's or mine or anybody else's. We're right. all on this journey together, but we're at different part, you know, at a different, we're all at a different place, and that's all okay.
Yeah, I guess it's just 9 months in. It seems ridiculous to me that I'm still having such a hard time.
You have so much judgment over for yourself. You got to quit saying it's ridiculous. You got to start saying I'm right on time. Because if you keep saying I should have, I shouldn't have, you know, I should have kept going, I shouldn't have quit, that is poison. That is poison to your weight loss.
Right.
Because you're going to quit, and you know, you're going to, every time you have an urge, you're going to be like, fuck it. I mean, you know, and so you've got to start with more, okay, what if I was just supposed to go through all this and I just wasn't ready yet. And now I'm ready. Now right. is my time. Now I'm ready. I'm ready yeah. to take advantage of everything everything PNP has to offer in terms of, you know, but one thing at a time, right?
Right. Well, that's, you know, like I've got a full-time job. I've got a PRN job. I'm doing school part-time. You know, and then there's, I want to do the time management course. I'd also like to do no sugar
no,
flour.
Basics,
that's what I told MJ. Yeah. She was like, no, you know, but how do you get rid of helping myself learn?
Mm-hmm.
Not now.
Yeah. You say not now. This, you say this is enough. Not now. This is enough. Over and over and over again. Every time your brain goes, oh, this couldn't possibly be enough. That's what I mean. My brain would say that. And for some reason, my brain has like a British accent. It's a British woman's accent. And it says, you couldn't possibly be good enough. I don't know why. So,
right.
But it's this you couldn't possibly thing. You know, it is just the meanest, nastiest voice. And it's like, no, I'm doing enough. Not now. I'm doing enough. Not now. I'm doing enough. Over and over and over and over again. And proving to yourself that this is enough, that this is enough, that this is enough. Day after day after day, the scale goes down and down and down because you are doing the four basics. That's what it takes. That's what MJ went through. That's what I went through and what everybody else is going through. It's this constant redirecting of your brain. And eventually, when you're not quitting when it wants it to, you know, you to, it starts to get on board and say, oh, well, I guess she's all in for this weight loss thing. So then I'll start to, you know, kind of get on her side. But yeah, when you want, anytime you want to do something different, your brain's going to throw a fit. But you're always in charge. And you can do something different. I did, MJ did. And it's an amazing feeling when we can really do something that's very different than what we've, you know, what we've always done. You know, what we thought was ingrained in us or what we thought was just part of us. Like, oh, I'm a perfectionist. I'm overwhelmed all the time. And it's like, what if I wasn't overwhelmed? What if I didn't have to be perfect at everything? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the magic here.
Right. And I guess I've just done that for so long that it's hard to visualize when you talk about your future self. Mm-hmm. It's hard to visualize doing it differently when you've done it so, the other way for so long.
And so you got to do it differently, right? You got to actually do it to prove your brain wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And you just say, okay, you know, and I mean, none of these four things are things that are, you know, they're all easy. They're all simple. They're not necessarily easy, but they're very simple, right?
Right.
And
right.
So that's why we make them so simple because, all right, if all I have to do is the four basics, then, okay, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep doing something different. Going to hear my brain come in and keep doing these simple four things. Nothing more.
Right.
For a while. So I want you to set 30 days. until you're.
I saw you had office hours today. I was like, well, that's perfect because it's, I mean, tomorrow is September 1st.
Yeah. That's tomorrow, right? Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. 30 days. And there's 30 days in September. Perfect. Not perfect, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I like to call it, I had like a journal back when we had the forums and I had a journal and it was Betsy's Journal of Imperfection because I just needed to see that at the top of every post I made that I know I don't have to be perfect to be successful at this. No one is. And I just needed to give myself a break on just expecting all this of myself when I didn't have to be perfect. You don't either. Okay. So 30 days of realistic plans. And if that's just 2 to 2 every meal, that's what it's going to be. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds
good. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right. Tell MJ hi.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Shannon and Darcy. Yes, 30 days of realistic plans. And when I mean realistic, Jen, we talked about just, you know, 2 to 2, right? Good, better, best, eat 2 to 2. You don't have to be any more specific than that at first. If you're not quite ready to plan the specific foods, right? Just start where you are. Okay, Shannon and then Darcy and then Jen. Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Can you
hear it? What's going on?
Okay. So I'm a little nervous. This is my first call that I've been on live. I mean, I've listened to a lot of them.
Yes. Well, good job. I'm proud of you for getting on. And
thanks. I'm probably going to cry. I'm going to cry right now. So it has to do with dating, but also with weight loss too. Like they're kind of tied up together in my mind. So I am divorced. I've been divorced for a full year, separated for like 6 months. So it's been like a year and a half. So I have recently started dating. And I did date someone before for like 6 months, but it was like someone I knew before. So it didn't seem as scary. So now that I'm dating again, sometimes I think that I should wait until I've lost the weight that I want to lose to be dating. And then,
why do you think that?
Because I think people will like me, men will like me more if I am thinner.
Yeah.
And, I will even find myself like on some of the apps, like, you know, I don't know how much you know about online dating, but anyway, you have to match with people and like, I will only pick men that maybe I like, to me, they seem they're a little bit overweight too. Mm. Like they're super in shape or they look super in shape. I won't even match with them because I think that they won't like me.
Mm.
So,
you're giving them like a lot. I mean, you're just getting all up in their heads, right? I mean, these are guys you haven't even met yet. And you just have all these expectations about them, right?
Yep.
That like, oh, they won't like me if they're not like me,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so, and we know, I mean, I don't know if you've seen my wedding pictures, but you know, my guy and I are definitely different sizes and it's just like, that's just something that your brain throws up there, right? Mm-hmm. Where to protect you. And I think first it's important to recognize that, you know, your brain is just trying to protect you from rejection and pain and things like that, right? And so nothing has gone wrong here. Everything is happening, you know, your brain is feeling threatened, right? Because you're coming out of the cave and there are lions and, you know, tigers and things. And so your brain's throwing up everything it can to try to keep you from, you know, just try to keep you safe. And so and that's kind of the first, I think that's the first step in all of this, because all of this has to do with self-love, right? All of this has to do with love and compassion for yourself, about how you think about yourself, in relation to, you know, opening yourself up to someone else and being vulnerable and all of that kind of stuff. And so I just think the first step is like, okay, this is all totally normal. This is, of course, I'm going to think that this guy isn't going to want me, or this guy, you know, if he doesn't look like I do or whatever. And just being just accepting where you are right now and being like, okay, that's just something my brain is doing because it's trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. And really even kind of living in that for a little while. I mean, that's important because you don't want to like resist that, and you don't want to just try to move into something else too quickly. But it's just like, okay, of course, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. So do you know that, or do you recognize that this is?
Yes, I can recognize that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even just that can just kind of bring the level down a little bit, like, okay, I'm supposed to be really emotional about this. I'm supposed to be, you know, feeling all the feels right now. And then when I'm ready, I can decide how I want to show up from a place of love for myself. So my homework for you is that self-love course, if you haven't done it already.
I have listened to it, but I didn't actually do anything.
Okay. So
yeah.
Tomorrow is September 1st. There are, I believe that there are 30 days, because the course is just, you know, like the one video, and there's the workbook, and then there's the 30 days of journal prompts.
Okay.
And so it's just a journal prompt every day. So just commit to that for September, and and just move forward from a place of, okay, I have to learn to love myself before I can. I mean, and of course you can go, you know, you can keep doing this dating while you're working on this as well, but it's all about, and I think it would be really good for you to write, to do some writing, because it's, weight loss is the same thing. I just kind of had this, like, we want weight loss for a reason, and we want to be in a relationship for a reason. Why do you want to be in a relationship?
I want someone to just share life with, like someone to, and for me, it's more like the ordinary things, like going to the grocery store and cooking.
Yes.
Movies, like just someone I can like be myself around.
Yes. Yeah. And so, and I think even just you talking about that, right, that brings up, like, I mean, someone I want to be myself around. Like, you're already working on that self-love, right? Like, you want to be yourself because you love yourself, and you want someone, you know, you want to be that self around someone else, and you want someone else to love you too, but you got to start with yourself. And so you're already on the way in terms of, you know, you're not looking for someone else to, you know, we talk about this whole unconditional love concept where it's just like, you know, I need someone else to complete me, or I need someone else to, you know, help me feel something. Right. And that's not the way it works. Right. We control how we feel. We control, I always say with my husband, you know, I meet my needs, he meets his needs, and we just get to come together and hang out and go to the grocery store and cook and, you know, and watch football or whatever it is, right? But we're not dependent on each other for meeting our each other's needs. And that's what I think is the healthiest relationship. And so you gotta learn to, you know, to meet your needs first. And then that includes, you know, meeting your needs of loving yourself. And so that's where I think you need to start.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, well, one, I mean, this is kind of part of this, and I think it's probably similar, but so I have kind of, I've been dating someone for like a couple of weeks, and I like I think that, and I know it's just a thought, I think he likes me too much. And I guess it kind of goes along with that self-love thing. Like, sometimes I think, is it because, like, he's not the right guy? Or is it because, I mean, he's nice to me. Like, he does all the things I say I would want. But is it because I don't think that, like, I deserve it, that I'm trying to, like, say, oh, it's too much, you know, kind of a thing?
Right, right. And like, and only you can figure that out, right? And so it's like, okay, this is my opportunity to really get to know myself and get to, I just think seeing it like that, like, okay, this is what I keep thinking about this relationship. Why, right? Why do I think he likes me too much? Like you said, is it this or this? You know, why could it be this? Why could it be? It was just this like curiosity, like, I wonder. And then, you know, and then like that will lead to some decisions, whether it be to stay with him for, you know, stay with him or to not. But it's just, it's all this. I mean, the process of dating for sure is just an amazing learning experience in itself. I've been through it the last few years, where it's just, okay, these are all opportunities for me to get to know myself and, along with him, but even more so myself, and figure out what I really want. And it doesn't have to, you know, be dependent on anyone else. And that's definitely what I went through. I had a big breakup and then I just got married, you know, like a year ago. But in between that time, it was like, okay, I'm going to figure out what I really want. And no one else has to be involved. And then again, if I find someone who has stuff they want, but they know that that's on them and, you know, what I want is on me. And then we just get to enjoy spending time together and we don't have all these expectations and manuals and all that stuff. So yeah, it's just like seeing all of this as, oh, that's interesting. How can I learn, you know, what can I learn about myself through this? And not being in any hurry, not being in any kind of sense of urgency. Yeah. So, you know, I don't have an answer for you because, again, only you know that from, you know, the work that you do to kind of get to know yourself better and what you really want. Okay. All right. So just keep staying curious and get on that self-love work for the month of September and just keep moving forward.
All right.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Dating. Dating is so fun. All right, Miss Darcy. Hi.
Hello there.
Hello. What's up?
What's up? Two things.
Okay.
One of my Marco Polo groups and I have really been having some awesome conversations about the thought, the big ass hairy thought that I would like to change, which is weight loss gets harder the smaller I get.
Right. Okay.
Getting there, and I'm getting like, I understand that. So I've lost 55 pounds, 70 pounds all time. I'm about 20 to 30, just a little background. I know, you know, I think you know this, but, so I've been kind of stalled and I've lost some weight this month, but I've realized that this thought, and it kind of came up the Transformation Weekend, but I realized that this thought is a poison thought for me. And
tell me why.
Because I believe there's some truth to it.
Mm.
And I start talking with other even PNP friends, and it's like, we're all like, but it is, it's slower, it da 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 da. And I think it is, but even if there is some truth to it, it's never a thought that's going to help me. So I'm trying to redirect it. And I mean, we've talked about like, you know, we have to be more on point. And I love you were talking with Melissa. Melissa's call really resonated with me because I have learned to use my four basics as my anchor when things are rough. And this spring has had a lot of roughness. And it's time to lose some fucking weight again.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, I didn't know that was coming. So I'm so grateful for my anchor of PNP, and I'm just having lots of thoughts about these next 20 to 30 pounds.
Okay, so why do you think it's true? What evidence do you have that it's true?
Well, because I've stalled. You know, I mean, to be the flip answer is that. And also, I mean, it's just like this weight loss is harder as you get small, as you lose weight, or as you get smaller, is like, it's just like this truth that is comes from the diet industry, or that, I mean, it's just like a common knowledge kind of thing. And what I'm realizing, I was TDLing about it this morning, is that it's not really harder. It's just that I've become comfortable where I am, and now it's time to allow for discomfort again. Because weight loss does take discomfort. It does take allowing myself to be hungry perhaps a little longer. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. And it also takes me being, I think the more I have lost, the more on point I have to be with my plus two. And that's...
But that just goes right along with, it's harder.
Yeah. And I mean, have to be perfect.
Yes. Well, and that's another thought. You got to be perfect, right?
But I'm just thinking, like, I've got to allow some discomfort, because I think when I first started, almost a year ago, I was like, there's lots layered in here. So I was like, okay, I know I've got to make changes, and I'm willing to make changes. And now I'm like, you know, I've lost 55 pounds and I'm feeling pretty good. I've got new clothes that feel comfortable. I've got, you know, the complacency. I know we've talked about that too, kind of has come in, but I'm realizing I have to get some, just allow myself to be comfortable, uncomfortable again. And in my love with some leveling up.
What do you think about discomfort? What do you make like if you put discomfort in the sea line?
Oh shit is my first thought.
Yeah. Like you're thinking of it like, I mean, you know, you're kind of going from this intellectual place like, well, I know I need to allow discomfort, but then your thought is, well, that's gonna be
that's gonna suck.
And so it's almost like discomfort sucks is a thought, right?
Most certainly is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting because when I started my PMP journey, I mean, hunger was scary, you know, and an emergency. And now hunger, I feel kind of like I'm hungry. Okay. It's not a big fucking deal. It's not an emergency. It's kind of an empowering thing. And I think that's where I need to take
my
thought of around discomfort.
Right, right. Like this is your next thing to work on, not thinking that it sucks.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's just, okay, here's, you know, Darcy 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here we go. But you've also got to just think, okay, it gets harder as you lose more weight is just my thought. Because it's just, I mean, maybe there's some science behind it somewhere, but how does that even, it's like all of this is like, okay, how does that even help you? You know, it's just, it doesn't help you to think it. It doesn't help you to look to see if it's actually true scientifically. It's just like, you know what? I can think that's bullshit if I want to, and because I'm not a weight loss scientist anyway, and it's just, okay, I know what it takes. And thinking this stuff, no matter how true I think it is, or even no matter how scientifically true it is, it doesn't help me. And, you know, we know that we can think whatever we want. You can think I have blue hair sitting here if you want to, if it helps you lose weight.
Will that help me lose weight, Betsy?
No, that's not the fifth basic. Sorry, we know what the fifth basic is. That's not the sixth basic. but yeah. So it's just like, okay, you know, maybe, but does that help me? I mean, that's the question that you got to ask when you keep thinking this thought, like you're fighting for this thought, right? And it's like, but why am I fighting for this thought? So that I can probably like sit in my dirty diaper for a little bit longer. It's a lot easier to sit in my dirty diaper than to try to figure out this next phase of my weight loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, I get to decide if it's hard or uncomfortable or what discomfort means or whatever it is. And, you know, you just want to make sure you and your accountability buddies aren't just over here like jumping in, you know, in and out of each other's dirty diapers, you know, and just commiserating about how hard the last 10 or 15 pounds is going to be.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty clean, but I think it is absolutely something to watch for, because we can bolster the belief that it's true.
Yeah, you can kind of feed off each other a little bit, but, you know, and even kind of come up with some evidence. But then it's like, okay, I mean, even like I said, even if you had scientific evidence,
yeah,
what do you do with that? Okay, so it's so oh.
Yeah. So what? I still
so don't what?
Last weight this right. 20 to 30.
I mean, it's almost good that you don't have clear scientific evidence. Now you can just get back to work with what you know you need to do.
Just do the fucking work.
Do the fucking work and, you know, just.
Well, like, I think something that's really, I think what's helping me fight the complacency, which I've just discovered the last day or two, is really remembering, keeping my long-term goal in mind, mm-hmm. and realizing it's worth the discomfort. You know?
Right. Well, and Corinne was talking about that on a podcast or something, where it was like, you know, we've got to keep this future self in mind, yeah. and like really drill down our future self, like on a daily, you know, weekly, monthly basis. You know, details of how it's going to be when you are, you know, your future self.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up and you can, I mean, the best example is like, you know, you wake up and you look at your closet and you love everything in your closet. You love how you look in it, you know, that kind of stuff. Because if we get too bogged down in every single decision, then, you know, it's just, we're going to white knuckle ourselves into quitting.
What do you mean bogged down in every single decision? yeah. The other reason, the other thing I think I'm having, the journey changes and, you know, aha, of course mm-hmm. it does, but it's realizing it at different levels along the way, because when I started, my compelling reason was very meta. You know, it's like, because I'm worth this work, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I get goosebumpy, but, you know, I'm living into that future self. And it's really awesome. And now my compelling reason is, one, more of the same. You know, I want more, more, more.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's maybe a little more vanity. Like, yeah. I want to be size 8.
Yeah.
And so my part of me is judging that compelling reason. And I don't even know if a size 8. I want to be smaller. I want to be less, you know, whatever. And so part of me is judging that compelling reason. I'm like, you know what? I'm hearing y'all always say, you know, don't judge it. If it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Right. Yeah. Cause you gotta, you know, work on that for sure.
Yeah. So
because if you find yourself judging it, you can go, okay, but how will being size 8 make me feel, you know, create a thought that will make me feel something. It's all about, we do everything because of how we want to feel.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, maybe more focusing on the feelings yeah. will kind of bring you out of some judgment.
Yeah. And I'm feeling pretty damn good right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like when I was 250 and every step was painful and I was emotionally, mentally miserable. So it's just honing in everything. So it's exciting and it's scary and it's, so I guess it is the same.
But it's also that abundance. Like, yeah, you already feel pretty amazing, but you want to feel more amazing.
Yeah.
Like the size 8 will be more amazing. And so it's that abundance of, okay, I've got it pretty great right now, but I want more and I deserve more. I'm worth it, you know, to have more. And, you know, and that's when we can get caught in judgment, because it's like, oh, I don't deserve it. Oh, I'm being selfish. Oh, I'm being like, like we're taking from someone else to become more of ourselves. No, that's not how it works, right? We could all be, just imagine how life would be if we were just all abundant and just wanted more, more, more. There's always more to have. And we're not taking from someone else when we want more. And so, but you know, we just don't, we don't live in that kind of society. You know, we have to think about our, you know, we have to change our thoughts around that, because there's, you know, we're taught different things sometimes. And yeah. So it's just yeah. like, yeah.
And you know, that hadn't even crossed my mind. I'm fucking worth more. And I don't think me taking care of myself is taking away from anybody right. else. I'm, you know, solid there, thankfully. Right. I'm getting excited. You know, I've been facing these 20 to 30 as drudgery, and now I'm getting more excited about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good mind shift change. And so thank you.
Well, but one last thing, because you said, you know, the journey changes, yeah. right? And I think about that and I'd say, of course the journey changes, and that's great. Otherwise it'd be boring, and it would just be, you know, I want to just keep working on stuff and keep having I just want to keep doing stuff and figuring things out and moving forward and things changing. And okay, this is my next thing to work on. I just see that as a privilege and an honor. And so just thinking about it that way.
Yeah. That is a really great way to think about yeah. it. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't even need a ladder. I don't even have to ladder that shit. That's true.
Okay.
I did one more thing. Okay. And this will be quick.
Okay.
I've had a big, big ass camp goal for October 3rd of getting to 165. So August, I lost 5 pounds. I weigh first day to first day. So mm-hmm. I'm down 5 pounds. So I have started moving again. So mm-hmm. But I always have a 10 pound goal. I am not going to get to 165. I'm not losing 15 pounds in September. And I don't know why, but I feel like I need permission to change my goal to 172. I don't need permission. I'm stating.
I want you to give yourself permission to change your goal.
I'm changing my goal. I'm not giving up. I'm being realistic. And
but here's another thing. Here's another option. You have another option.
Yeah.
You can keep your goal. And even knowing that you're not going to get there, I mean, you've got an impossible goal now, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I know for sure that there's no way I'm going to get there. How could this be an amazing opportunity for me to go for it like I've never done before, just to see what I can accomplish by October, what is it, 3rd?
3rd, yeah.
I mean, see how close I can get. And yeah. then work on my mind around not actually reaching the goal, but focusing on who I became to get there and what I accomplished to get there, other than just a number, right? Because yeah. I said last time, I think, you know, and somebody posted about in Facebook, you know, reaching the goal is about 10% of goal setting.
Yeah.
The other 90% is everything, you know, everything you do and become to get to that goal. And so that's another option for you.
Yeah, I think that's the option I'm going to take. Because I've been there before, and what I'm becoming more and more clear on is the journey is the goal. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You and I are in private coaching. I'm not, you know, so you know a lot of what I talk about. So, mm-hmm. but I'm just, the journey is the goal, and that's a fucking beautiful place to be.
Because, I mean, like, let's say you reach the goal. Okay, great. You know, it's great for a few days, but then it's like, you know, and you're still just focused on that, you know, that short period of time, and you're not thinking about everything that you learned and developed and all the things that happen on the way to get there.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, focusing on that specific, you know, number or day or whatever it is, that's shorting yourself so much of the benefits of goal setting.
And I think when I mean, I still want to lose weight and reach numbers, but when I focus on the journey is my goal, that's like the sweet spot.
Yes.
If that's where I'm enjoying life and I'm enjoying my self-care and I'm, you know, the self-care has just feels so fucking good. I want to do it. And my self-care is the four basics and exercise, basically, and an occasional massage and all that stuff. But it's just, I started this journey. Oh. When I started PNP, I fucking resented having to take care of myself. Mm. And now it brings me so much joy. It's just kind of crazy. Crazy good.
Right. Crazy good. And like you want to just keep, you want more of that crazy good. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's good I have paper towels and not just a Kleenex.
I think everyone has cried so far. I think I am 5 for 5 with the tears.
100%. Okay. Hey, is your shirt in the new swag?
No, this is the Don't Stop Believing shirt.
Well, good. I'll get one of those this year. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Color.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Betsy.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Yes, the journey is the goal. What if we really believe that? Okay, Jen. Are you there?
Yeah, how do I do it?
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to ask you to start your video.
Okay. I hate seeing myself on camera.
Well, we can talk about that.
No, I don't like looking at my own face.
well, like I said, we can talk about that. That's a thought, right?
As I get older, I don't like looking at my own face. So I want to talk about phase two. Is that okay? Okay, because I think I'm in it.
Okay.
I think I've entered it. So in my personal world, things have been really tough the last 2 weeks, right? So just a lot of that we've had a death in a really good friend of ours family, and it hit all of us very hard, and just relationship-wise and stuff. You know, just things that are happening in life that happen, right? So because I kind of was, it was almost too easy in phase one to lose weight, right? It was just every week was either a half a pound, you know. I didn't have too many backups. I kind of had this expectation in my head that this is how it was going, right? Mm-hmm. As long as I do my four basics, I get my sleep, my water. Mm-hmm. And I was doing great on the plus two, minus two thing. And then the last 2 weeks hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it was as if my old brain, my old fat girl brain, said, come on, you love marshmallows when you're feeling like this. Go grab the bag of marshmallows. And I didn't resist it at all. I just went and grabbed. And I did I have an entire month of recovery worksheets the last 2 weeks, every freaking day, right? Every freaking day, it's either an off-plan eat or a plus three eat, right? And I'm now that was the first week. So now I'm doing thought downloads like a mad woman because mm-hmm. I'm like, I am not going to derail myself. Not this time, you know? And then I'm thinking, I know that part of my issue in the beginning was the diet mentality, right? I always had to, my plans weren't realistic. My plans were too hard on myself, right? Not eating where I was at, eating what I thought I should eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I cleaned that up way back mm-hmm. in June when I first started, lost slower, mm-hmm. right? Because I wasn't eating diet wise.
Right.
All of a sudden though, it's like, I'm just grabbing the candy anyway. I'm just grabbing it anyway, like I used to do. I'm eating to full again.
What do you think has gone wrong here?
I'm going to do the urges and buffering class because I'm not sitting in the urge at all. I am not doing the count backwards, which I know better.
Okay. So that's wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Oh, okay.
The answer is that nothing has gone wrong here.
Oh, well, that's not true. I was up a pound this week.
Well, and the issue is that you're seeing that as wrong. You're seeing that as bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Because I've had such, and I don't want to say good luck because I've been doing the work, right? So it's not luck. I've been doing the work and I've had good results from doing the work and it's done what I wanted.
But yeah, like you're into stage two and you may not be doing the work like you've been doing.
Yeah. and I need to feel full again, which I haven't needed to feel full since I was in groupies.
And like, so that's part of phase two, right? And then it sounds like you had these circumstances that you are choosing to see as tough, right? That's a thought, but that you had a tough couple of weeks. No, you had a couple of things that happened. You had a death, you had something else happen, but seeing that as tough could definitely lead to, oh, well, things are so tough, let's eat. Right? Let's eat a little bit more than we are used to and all of that.
It wasn't conscious like that though, but the conscious thought was after I would feel eat to full. I mean, because that's what I used to do. That was my worst weight gain habit, was eating emotionally, eating for entertainment when I was bored, and eating to full, having to feel full. And these past 2 weeks, it's like I needed to feel full again, right?
Of course you did.
Eating to plus two wasn't.
Because you're feeling emotion that you haven't felt in a while.
Yeah.
Totally normal. Nothing's gone wrong. You're feeling,
you know, though, sad. When I started PNP, I was in the worst time of my life, though. When I started, when I joined PNP, I was in the absolute downest cycle in my life. And I think PNP, you know, all the work and all the workbooks on the no BS trainings, it gave my mind something to focus on.
Yeah. Right? And you were in phase one. You were really excited. You were in a different phase of weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you're
so now,
like, this is it. I mean, you were just at a different place.
Okay. Now so I need some strategies for phase two. Because the thought downloads are happening daily. So I'm doing it. Yeah.
So, but what do you want me to tell you?
I know there's no magic bullet, right?
No,
but what do people do in phase two that have been like, what do you do in phase two that's successful? Who was it? It might have been, I don't know. I listened to so many podcasts now. I don't know if it was Corinne's podcast or the Life Coach School or whatever it was, said that, you know, your brain kicks and throws a temper tantrum when you're getting ready to make a breakthrough and starts to want all your old habits to come back. Right.
Yeah.
So how do I get it to make that breakthrough faster? I just don't want to gain weight. Right. And I don't want
to guess what would be the answer to what it takes for the breakthrough. Now, not necessarily faster, right? Because it's just going to happen when it's good and ready to happen. But what you have to guess what would be the answer?
Honestly, sitting in the urges better.
Same thing you've always done. Four basics.
I didn't have to sit in the urges though because I didn't have them. I'm just having them now.
So that part of phase two. You were super excited in phase one. You were having urges, but you probably didn't even notice because you're like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting and new and shiny.
And
now you're in phase two. And just part of the deal. That's why I love the four stages of weight loss, because it's like, wait, y'all think, oh my God, something. No, you don't understand. Something is wrong here. And it's like, no, you're in phase two, and the solution is to keep, you know, doing what you're doing, and you're doing your TDLs, which is great. And, you know, in addition,
I'm not great at the model, but I'm trying to clean it up and ask coaches and all that.
Right.
Because I don't think I always get the circumstance.
Right.
The action versus the results. Right. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing, I mean, it's just, you're check, you know, you're doing it. And so for you, it's deciding, you know, it's your thoughts around like, okay, there's nothing more that I need to be doing right now. There's nothing that's missing. There's nothing that's wrong here. It is just, I love, one of my favorite quotes is, if you're going through hell, keep going. And so it's just like, you've just got to keep going.
Well, there's got to be a strategy for sitting in the thoughts. Like when I want to go grab the marshmallows, there's got to be a better strategy than grabbing the marshmallows, you know?
You don't grab the marshmallows and you sit there and let your brain throw a fit.
I never don't grab the marshmallows the last 2 weeks. That's my point. I'm scared to death of
an opportunity to do something different, to not grab the marshmallows and grab your pen and paper instead and listen to what your brain tells you.
So when you do that, that's not white knuckling?
Not well, at first it is, because you're practicing, right? And you're not good at it yet. And that's why you get that pen and paper and you get all those thought, those white knuckling thoughts out. And then, but I mean, you know, allowing urges is, especially at the beginning, is a process of going from white knuckling to allowing, white knuckling to allowing. I mean, it goes back and forth because you're not good at it yet.
Okay. Because that's, I'm so afraid of doing the white knuckling thing and not doing it right. So,
But the white knuckling is, I mean, you're going to do more white knuckling than allowing at first. I mean, that's required.
That just happens. Okay.
That just happens. And so, yeah, I mean, being scared of it is no. I mean, you know, that's just not going to work because that's part of the deal at first. It's like, oh, okay, of course I'm supposed to be resisting this, but I'm going to work, you know, manage my mind and say, okay, how can I allow this instead of resisting? And that's all in that buffering, you know, an urges course. Corinne has that 5-step process. It's the, you know, countdown from 90 and focus on, you know, not fighting with the urge, not talking to it, not even, you know, acknowledging it and just, you know, moving on and all that kind of stuff. But all the, but there's all that science in there in that course about how all of this is totally normal, right?
You know,
urges is all totally normal. It's all part of the brain and exactly the, you know, the way the brain is supposed to be working.
Yeah, I don't like this phase so much. I'm in my, we have this small accountability group that's been a lot of fun to be a part of, but that's what one of, hi, Michelle, if you're out there, one of them said, you know, it's like, you're in phase two, girl. And it's like, yeah, I don't like this phase
what if
so much.
You, I mean, this is, you know, this is just something to ponder. What if you loved phase two?
Well, if I keep gaining weight every week, I'm not going to love phase two. But
what if phase two was there for you, right? What if phase two was happening for you in terms of in to teach you how to really do this? Because, yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, and you have the thought like it was too easy in phase one. And, okay, it's supposed to be easy in phase one so that you can kind of get a little momentum going because you know phase two is coming. And that's your real big learning time. And it's like, okay, this is happening for me. I'm going to learn all kinds of stuff during this time. Go me.
So let me ask you a question then. Do I go back to making my plans more realistic or do I allow the off plan? What's the better strategy? Like in the beginning, I had to be really realistic, right? That was my screw up was the diet mentality. So I had to go back to putting the candy on the plan so that I'd stop being off plan. So I could say, okay, you got your own back. You've been following your plans. Now, should I put them on the plan or is it better to go be off plan so that I notice them, the things I don't want to eat anymore, but I don't want to eat a bag of marshmallows.
Well, you
want to
notice,
I know better.
I mean, you always want to notice whatever it is you're choosing to eat, right? I mean, and so, and you want, your goal is to follow your plan. So make your plan realistic, whatever it's going to take to follow your plan. And then, you know, and then gradually level up.
So just kind of back to all the way back.
Yeah.
Kind
of back to basics.
Yeah. I just couldn't figure out which would be more helpful in phase two, maybe writing the recoveries, you know,
well,
being off plan,
you know,
or
it's, you know, I can't give you the answer to that, right?
I know.
Just
right.
Like, I mean, but here's the deal. Here's the good news. You're going to learn no matter what, right? You're going to learn and you don't ever have to think you're failing, even if you eat off plan, right? I mean, you can work on your thoughts around off plan eating. I did that the other day when my husband brought home some ice cream as a surprise. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make this choice to eat it, even though I didn't plan it. And then I'm going to practice not beating myself up over it that, you know, that eventually leads to even more eating. And so I just decided I'd have this little bit of ice cream, enjoy it and not beat myself up. What a concept, right? Even though it wasn't on the plan, you know, the world isn't going to fall down around us if we don't follow our plan. It's all about what we make that mean and what we do afterwards to, you know, to show up. So it's just, there's no right or wrong answer to that question because it's all about what you make it mean to you and in the long run, you know, and how it affects your future choices and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those, it's not happening fast enough people.
Right.
I mean, I definitely know that about myself. So
And that's
got to slow down.
Like, that's a total poison thought, because that's you comparing your journey to other people. That's you, losing weight from a sense of, you know, from this, not abundant, but scarcity mindset. And from this, like, you know, urgency, this just
right
made up urgency that you've made up. Like, there's some deadline for you to lose weight out there that,
yeah,
someone has set for you. But,
well, I want to wear all the clothes. I am just, it's so funny because the clock is ticking for me. I mean, I'm 58 now, so I want to wear all the fun clothes but while I'm still young enough to wear all the fun clothes.
The thought the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Is.
I know, because I can be an 80-year-old cool grandma.
I mean, and there will always be more clothes, right? There will always be more clothes. Yeah. There will always be that. And so, because, you know, again, that urgency, it just will backfire every time. You got to know that you're just right on time with everything.
You're very calming.
Until you're not buying it. You're not buying it yet, but
no, my anxiety level is so high right now in not doing it the way I was doing it before. So it's like, ugh. And I don't mean true anxiety where I'm, you know, sitting.
No, but you're recognizing that, and I'm pulling these thoughts out, right? It's like, that's what's creating your anxiety, is this isn't happening fast enough. You know, it shouldn't be like this. And those are all thoughts that you are choosing that are totally optional to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
It's hard not to think them, though.
They may be there. They may be there in your mind, but you don't have to like attach to them. I call it like they're just neurological junk floating around.
That's true. I can allow them without attaching to them.
Yes.
Yes. Corinne, I've heard that in several podcasts.
Yeah. Corinne says, you know what? That's just shit my brain likes to think. But I don't have to do anything in response to those thoughts. I don't have to own them just because they're up here.
I love that. I have to remember that more in the moment, but I love that.
Yes.
I mean, in personal life too, I have to just remember that, you know, I can think that without buying in.
You don't have to obey, you know, everything that comes to our mind. Because we have like 60,000 thoughts a day. We don't want to attach to all of them. That'd be really exhausting.
No. It's funny. I wasn't planning on getting on a coaching call at all today. And then I had just gotten on the scale and I was like, what?
Okay.
I guess today would be a good day for that.
this was a really good call. So I'm glad you came on.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, good. Well, thanks. Have a good weekend. Right.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
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 All right. Meg.
Can you see me?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Oh my gosh, your house looks like the Brady Bunch house, kind of.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
Cheers.
Yeah, see that stone and everything reminds me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway,
it's my first coaching call.
Awesome. Well, I've seen your name. I think you're in Facebook, you know, and stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I started in April.
Okay.
So I just wrote a recovery sheet. I've been I've been not doing that. I think I've been slacking off a little bit with the recovery worksheets.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful because I think my am I there still?
Yes, you're there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
The binge eating has gotten so much better.
Okay, good.
But I still am kind of having some, I just had one today.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'm going to start doing these recovery workshops.
Yes.
So
take advantage. Yeah. Because I mean, every single binge, right, is an amazing opportunity for learning.
I'm frustrated because I thought I had kind of nipped it in the bud. I really felt like, wow, I was past that. But it's funny how those habits can come back.
Well, and what if it's okay that you're not ever past it, right? I mean, Corinne has this amazing video about what if binges never have to stop? Like, what if, what if it's okay for it to happen every once in a while?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That I mean, works. Like that's, I mean, that's a different way to think, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like you don't that. Have to. That.
Yeah. The mental stuff, weight loss, the mental stuff is so much better.
Yes.
How am I saying that? But you know, like I love the fact that I can choose my thoughts.
Yeah.
So I just kind of called because I thought, well, I'll call. It's open.
Okay.
But I did just do this recovery worksheet, and I felt like I just came in from a trip. I'm a flight attendant.
Okay.
So I came in from early morning trip, and one of my old habits was stopping through drive-thru. And I did that today.
Mm-hmm. Why did you do that today?
I don't know. I felt angst.
Mm-hmm. Why did you feel angst?
I'm not sure. I like how Corinne calls it ginned up.
You were just kind of ginned up this morning.
Yeah, I've been feeling a little. Oops, sorry. I've been feeling a little bit ginned up. and I'm not really sure because things are, you know, so good and I feel so blessed, you know.
So did you learn anything from your recovery worksheet when you did it?
Yeah. Let's see.
Is there a way maybe you could prop up your phone somewhere?
I know this phone is terrible. I mean, I'm using my phone.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So it was like off plan, overeat, and binge. Mm-hmm. And then I felt angst. And then it says one sentence is, that I wanted to eat a burger fries in order to soothe my angst.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't want to feel that angst, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a total.
The justification or whatever was F it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I really kind of have been managing this, but kind of been struggling lately with that.
Mm-hmm.
So like one resistance thought is, it's not even white knuckling. It's just getting my mouth.
Yeah. Like you didn't have any resistance to it. Right. Yeah.
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 And so what I could have done differently was to drink water. Let's see. Or ordered a salad because it was lunchtime. I mean, I have to eat, right?
But I mean, you know, and another option, I mean, you know, here's the real solution is to feel the angst. To sit in the angst.
Yeah, I noticed that like that I was doing really well with that sitting in the discomfort and then all of a sudden I'm like, I don't want to sit in discomfort and then all those bad habits come.
Yeah. I mean, and it just takes one time, right? It just takes one time. And, but yeah, it's just for whatever reason. And for you, definitely you want to figure out what this angst is coming from. You know, you can just write up at the top of a piece of paper, you know, I'm feeling angst or I'm feeling ginned up because I keep thinking what, you know, or what's going on in my life. And that's something for you to figure out. But yeah, it's just, I mean, just choosing to sit with those emotions, you know, emotions, they're just vibrations in your body, right?
Yeah.
But this is a perfect example of buffering, right? You felt something you didn't want to feel that didn't feel good to you. And so you covered it up with food.
Yeah. So what will I do the next time? I said, I'll calmly deal with my urge, count to 90, talk myself down and think of my goals and my future self.
Mm-hmm.
And And then I did my risk makeup. I did my recovery sheet. I came home and I was like, I got to start doing these again.
Yeah.
So, and I will withhold the judgment, you know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, like, so, give yourself some credit, right? For getting back at doing those worksheets. I mean, because it's like, this is not a failure, right? This was not even a mistake. No. This was supposed to happen.
It's learning.
To learn from it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you did it right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to camp in October, and I would love to be down 15 pounds, but I did my weigh-in, and I'm only down 1 pound this month. It's going slow, so I did a little writing on that, and I thought, well, my weight loss is slower than others. That's okay. Right.
Well, but that, I mean, but how does that thought really help you? Right. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, it can help you if it, whatever, you know, depends on how that thought makes you feel. Right.
It doesn't make me feel bad. It makes me feel like it takes a little pressure off myself.
Okay. Okay. And it's just like, I mean, it's kind of a thought like, okay, everyone's weight loss journey is different, you know? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And so if that's working for you, that's good. But you just want to watch, you know, to not think I'm doing something wrong or something's wrong.
No, it takes a little bit of pressure off. Okay. So. Okay. So I'm trying to get hunker into all of my worksheets and stuff. I just ordered a new book. The new book you guys have.
The new planner.
Planner. Thank you.
Well, just know that doesn't have the recovery worksheet, so you'll have to print those out.
I know Corinne says to put them in your purse and stuff. Exactly. So I just stuck. I actually just put them in my suitcase and.
Good. So, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get emotional, but I'm not sorry. But I.
No. You. I mean, we want to feel these emotions, right?
Yeah. I mean, wish I could figure out what the angst is because I have. I feel so blessed, but it must just be part of.
And it may just be some, you know, some hormones or something like that, right? I mean, it's, you know, you want to kind of try to figure out enough, but then you kind of want to get to a point where it's like, okay, maybe I'll never know exactly what it is, but I'm just going to feel it, whatever it is, I'm just going to feel it and not cover it up with food and not, you know, buffer it. And just, you know, and just feel it because again, you know, it's, we don't want to spend too much time trying to figure out where emotions are coming from. And because then we'll just think that, you know, something is wrong and that kind of stuff, but it's just like, okay, here's an opportunity for me to practice feeling an emotion and, wherever it's coming from. And I just see that as, you know, we're humans. We're the ones lucky enough to have all these emotions, right? You know, other animals don't. And so let's just feel it and let it just pass through and cry and do whatever we need to do. And then move on, you know, move on.
It truly is a gift if I think about it.
But, it's part of the human experience, right? Of being human is that, you know, that we get to feel these emotions. Mm-hmm. And just experience all of what life has to offer, you know, positive, negative, everything. So,
yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing with the urges, I count to 90. Mm-hmm. And what else?
Well, I actually recommend counting, but like from 90 back.
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, either way, but I just think that gets you focused a little bit more on counting. Mm-hmm. And gets you a little bit, you know, your mind a little bit off of the urge itself. And so it just kind of diverts your attention a little bit more. Idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to count down from 90. And then, but in the Buffering and Urges course, there's a whole 5-step process that Corinne goes through.
Yeah, I did it. I did. Yeah. I got to just review it again.
Yeah.
Okay. And I loved your talk on Queen's Club about the managing time. Starting to, look at that.
Yes. About the routines and the rituals and all that. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
So helpful. Everything is so helpful.
Good. All right. Thanks for coming on. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. I probably got time for one more. If anybody wants to raise their hand, let's see. Joan, let's get you on here and then we'll probably be done. Meg and Joan.
Hello?
Are you there? Joan, are you there? There you are. Oh, let's see. Can I hear you? I can't hear you. Can't hear you. And I don't have a way to ask you to start your video. You see where you can turn your microphone on? Okay, I'm going to take you back and see if you can look in your settings or something, and then you can raise your hand again, and we'll try it again. Okay, and you can also put your question in the Q&A, or anybody can do the Q&A if y'all have any questions. Let me see if there's anything in the comments. Start with one thing at a time. A lot of folks like Melissa's call. 30 days of realistic plans, y'all. This is amazing, amazing opportunity, right? To start something on September 1st. And y'all know that we are starting No BS on not this Monday, but the, or not this Sunday technically, but the next, right? When we have our new members come in. So let me look at the calendar real quick. I'm going to do the month. So on September 8th, so basically a week from tomorrow, you will see in the Massive Action Line newsletter through email that we're all going through No BS together, including the coaches, including Corinne. So that's going to be, and we're actually going through 8 weeks until the end of October. We'll be doing 5 modules of No BS, and then we'll be doing a few more weeks with realistic planning, hunger scale, and then on the clock week. Okay, let's see if Joan has sound again. Are you there?
Yes,
I can hear you. Good.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. First time.
Good. Proud of you for getting on.
Yes, ma'am. I've been wanting to get on a long time, but I don't know.
You did it. Today's your day.
My problem, let me see. Well, first of all, I joined in April, so I've lost 25 pounds.
Awesome.
Going back to the basic thing, you know, and every time I get off track, I go right back to it. I'm not doing it perfect, but I'm doing it. And so for the whole total year, I've lost, that'd be 29 pounds.
Amazing.
So it's like 4 pounds or so. But what my problem is, I'm stuck, or at least my mind thinks it is, that, like, I get up at 4, I work all day long, and I walk constantly, and I do like 18,000 steps a day or so. And I'm tired when I get home, so I've been planning naps in the afternoon as soon as I get home, and for like 20 minutes, and then it refreshes me, and I get up and go. But I try to make sure I'm getting in bed around 9, so I have a little short time there. But I want to do all the things, and I'm thinking I'm going to do too many things. I'm listening to podcasts, and I mean, every chance I get at work breaks, lunches, and everything. And I'm doing, like, on the weekends, like, now I'm cleaning up my house, and I listen to all the organizing things and the cleaning videos mm-hmm. in the fall and all that stuff instead of watching TV was crap. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm trying to listen to positive motivation, stuff like that. But I'm burning myself out on it, and I get so messed up in my head that I don't know what to do sometimes. And then when I get home in the afternoons, my husband's real chatty because he's been home, or either he's been off work by himself, and he needs me to talk, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm just scattered. Does that make sense?
Not yes. I mean, you've got a lot of things on your priority list, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's time for you. I mean, you're realizing that you need to start prioritizing those things. And what is number one? What is number two? What is number three? and on down the list, and you may not get to, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6 on some days. But I think for you, so like, what would be number one on your list?
Well, I don't know. I just, well, now at this point, I'm feeling so good since I've lost to 25 pounds that I've already, when I was off for vacation in July, you know, we don't go anywhere. We stay home. And I love staying at home instead of out and about. And because of the way we work. So I'm, I painted my living room and my kitchen. So I have a list, a running list of stuff, and I don't get to it every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mark it off. I like seeing myself mark it off.
Yeah.
And, but, like, whenever I get home, I want to work on, you know, stuff in the house and stuff. Or either I'm cutting the grass. I really don't know. I just want to – I think my problem is I just need to see things – I want to see so many things done, and every time I do something, my husband, you know, he's getting motivated too to do something. It just looks so good. There's too many things out there.
Yeah, and I think for you, it's all about your thoughts, right? Like, you have got to decide. I mean, there's only so many hours, you know, there's we all have 24 hours in a day. And for you, when you lay your head down on the pillow, you have got to decide that you got enough done that day.
Right.
Right? And there
is. I'm disappointed.
Right. Because you're choosing disappointment, you're choosing, you know, being stuck, feeling stuck.
Yeah.
When you could absolutely choose to feel accomplished every single day, no matter how many things you knock off that list, right? Just whatever, because I mean, it sounds to me like you're not fiddle farting around. You are you are getting stuff done. But here's the other thing, you know, you want to listen to a lot of PNP stuff, and all that is great, but you know what to do. You are losing weight. Maybe you don't need to hear absolutely everything that we're doing, right? I mean, that's where the priorities come in. Maybe P&P stuff needs to move a little bit on down the list because you're doing so well with just, you know what you need to do, and something else needs to move up a little bit.
Well, I have a side hustle, a little jewelry. I made jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I have an Etsy shop and stuff like that. And it keeps coming back to me now that maybe I need to let that go because I want to take care of myself. I mean, it's not a big seller anyway, but it's something that used to just keep me, like, at my old job and breaks and lunches. I, you know, just kept going. It's like I go all the time, and I don't know how to settle.
But it's, you know, it's looking at your priorities, right? Is that something that's important to you that you want to keep doing or not? You know, only you can answer that. Only you can decide that. And then
it's hard. It's hard because I'm the type of person that I can't let go or give up. You know,
well, and that's a thought, right? That you can't let go, but you can absolutely do something different than you've always done, right? You're losing weight. That's something different than you've done before. Right. And so you can absolutely do different things than you have done in other areas of your life if you want to, right? But you just want to like your reason. You want to, you know, to know that you're making the best choice for you, and only you can decide that. And so it's just all about what you make it mean. If you decide to, you know, let that business go, you want to say, okay, that was the best choice for me because of this. And then, but if you decide to keep it, you want to decide it was the best choice. And so there's no right or wrong decisions or good or bad choices. It's just all about making decisions from a place of, okay, I'm doing what's best for me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just making some decisions, but you're doing great in that you got the weight loss thing down. It's just got going.
I listened to like almost 2 years. My sister's the one that sent me up to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying it. She said, hey, you need to listen to this blonde chick.
Yes.
She's lit as far as what I've been telling her that I want it. And I never really tried other than just cut back. I said, I want something natural. I don't want to take anything.
Right.
And I want something that I can live with the rest of my life.
Yeah.
She sent me to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's a little bitty thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I listened, and I was a groupie for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then finally in April, I said, okay, I got to do something. I had acid reflux so bad.
Mm-hmm.
When I drink drinks and chips and stuff like that, you know, it was really – I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah. But
since I joined,
you had a really like good, strong, compelling reason that you wanted to feel better.
Yes. Yeah. And since I joined in April and started losing, and I've been losing not like big numbers, but just little numbers each time. I hadn't had acid reflux but one time, and that's whenever I decided to drink another drink.
Yeah.
You know, like Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
Anyways, it's just hard. My mind's like when I get up to go to work, I know from when I get up at 4 o'clock to 5, I'm getting dressed and getting lunch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I've got my plan made. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the week, I get lazy and I don't make my plan. But I have it in my head and I have a plan. I have a menu on my refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I told my husband, instead of picking this different things all the time, we eat the same stuff.
Yeah, keep it
every
simple.
Day. And he said, that's fine with him. That works good for us. And it keeps it simple, even going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
But from 6:15 to 3 o'clock, I know what I'm going to be doing every day. But with the job I have now, my mind has too much time to think all during the day. And I can't stand it. You know, and I'm walking, I'm praying, and I try to sing. And, you know, because, you know, I work by myself, but you got to keep yourself, you got to keep my mind from going to these other places in Disney.
Well, and that's an amazing opportunity for you to practice. Okay, you've got this time to think about what you're thinking about and to decide, you know, how you want to practice thinking, you know, in terms of maybe you want to think differently about some things. And what would that look like? What would that feel like? And so... Well,
that's the reason I'm sorry I keep cutting.
No, that's right.
I'm excited. It's the first time I've been on here.
And you've posted a couple times and asked coaches, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I thought I remembered the Etsy store. So I remember reading one of your questions.
That keeps coming up to me because my husband, we've been married 38 years and I'm 54. And at this stage of my life, my health and his health, that's what I'm after. Because, you know, I watched my mama pass away and then, You know, I got a new job too, and I'm trying to learn because the other job was 32 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to learn. Everything's new, you know, and I'm like, what do you do with all this new?
And that, but that can be exciting, right? That can be fun and exciting.
Yeah, but I'm making myself miserable.
I know, and you're choosing that, right? When you could also choose to see, this is just an amazing opportunity for you to practice, you know, all this thought work that you've learned about and to just keep doing what you're doing with your weight loss and just keep moving forward, right? Yeah, right. I mean, I think that's where you need to be in terms of, you know, then some of these decisions that you need to make too.
Yes, my priority is my husband. We don't have kids, so it's him.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's number one.
I don't worry about work. Work's there.
You know,
I know what's going on there.
Yeah.
So my priority is for him when I get home to give him enough attention, you know, talk and let him do his thing, you know, because I know how I feel when someone cuts me off.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't listen to me. That's the reason I'm thinking maybe I need to give up the shop because I'd have more time for us and because I'm doing something all the time and I don't have to be doing something all the time.
Right.
And I learned that it is okay to take a 20
minute
nap.
Yes.
And it does make me feel better.
Yes. So you're learning, right? You're learning that you can do something different than you used to do,
right. But
you're setting these priorities. And again, you want to just make decisions from that place of, okay, I've got these priorities in my life and this is how I want to spend my time. I don't have to be doing stuff all the time. I can, you know, take a break. I can rest and then get, you know, get back at it. So you're doing great. You're doing exactly what you need to do. It's just a matter of moving forward and, you know, making decisions from those priorities that you have in your life.
Right. Okay.
All right. I'm so glad you came on here.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I started not to, and I looked, and I said, she's on at 12.
Yes, because I was going to say, like, I when you started talking about your Etsy shop and stuff, and I said, I think I've read a question or two from you and Ask Coaches, so it's good to meet you face-to-face.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye. All right, y'all. Oh my gosh, Rhonda's going to get macarons for a tailgate party. Oh my gosh, she finished her decluttering. Congratulations, Rhonda, if you're still on. Been working with her on that stuff. So awesome. All right, y'all. I'm going to not necessarily do tailgating, but we've got a, you know, football started today, college football, I guess. So go Hogs. We got the Razorbacks playing, and actually in an hour, the game starts in an hour. So I'm going to do that and maybe take a little nap too. So, all right, y'all, have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend. And Corinne is in Vegas, and so she'll be back home tomorrow. And y'all look at the calendar, because she'll be doing the calendar's a little bit different this next week because she's not coaching tomorrow, but she's coaching on Monday night. And she's just doing office hours on Monday night, just like I did today. So anybody who wants to get coached by Corinne, you can go get on there and raise your hand. So take advantage of that. And then we'll just keep going on through the week, and we'll be welcoming our new members in just a few days. So, all right, guys, take care. Bye.